Welcome to Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman, where we celebrate the joy in just being you. I'm Natasha, your certified sex and intimacy coach and clinical sexologist. Just call me your guide to unlocking pleasure. With years of experience in helping individuals embrace pleasure beyond sex, I'm here to empower you to rediscover the beauty of pleasure in every aspect of life. So settle in, relax, and get ready to savor the wisdom and insights we're about to drop. This is your space to be present, learn, and enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. Thank you so much for coming back. And if you are new here, I hope that you have been able to go into the last 70 plus episodes that are on here and get some gems that you can implement today. Now, I know y'all notice I have been doing an unofficial Mother's Day series for this drop, and this episode I feel like you're gonna love. This is probably gonna be one of my favorite episodes that I ever do from here on into the future, however long that this podcast continues to live on. And before I tell you why this is probably always going to be my favorite episode, I want to invite you to join me at Cocoa and Champagne. It is a circle that I have created to help you feel empowered to indulge in your truest passions. It's a judgment-free sisterhood that is focused on desire, not status. You know how you always go to a meetup, whether it's virtual or in person, and they always talk about, well, what do you do and how much money do you make and where have you been taking your business and blase, blase, blase. That is not this. This is a space to show who you are, to be witnessed in who you are outside of all the hats you wear and all the masks that you put on when you go into the world. So I would love for you to go ahead and secure your spot now. The link is going to be in the show notes. And let's just raise our glasses to more pleasure, connection, and living out our deepest desires. Now, this particular guest is near and dear to my heart. I love her so very much. And this is her first debut. So make sure that y'all listen all the way through, rate and review so that I can show her how amazing that she is. This episode is with my own mom. And I wanted to do this because, one, I will have it forever to cherish. But I think that it was good for me to ask some of the questions that I asked her, for her to hear the questions, and for you to be able to hear the vulnerability and the relationship that we have. I know a lot of women do not have this relationship with their moms, and there may be questions that they want to know. And even though her answer may not be similar to your mother's answer, I think that it is helpful and soothing to hear this conversation. And also, I would love for you to start the conversation with your mother. One of the things that my mom talked about is not having certain conversations with my grandmother. And so I'm hoping that this opens up the door for you to ask deeper than surface level questions to your mom. Have these conversations with her while she is here, just to give you some context of who she is as a person, who she was when she had you, and who she is blossoming into. Blossoming into as she lives this new adventure with you as a grown woman. So sit back, relax. I hope you enjoy this conversation with my mom.
Happy Mother's Day, girl.
Happy Mother's Day.
Are you excited about being recorded? Your first debut?
I'm a little nervous.
So I'm just going to ask you some questions, and I just want you to answer as honestly as possible for the people. So what is your favorite part about being a mom?
Seeing you girls make your way. And seeing all the new information that's available to you all to help you grow.
I remember you saying that. Remember when we were in Jamaica and you were like, look at all of these women out here, and they left their families at home and they're just enjoying their time. I love that. Is that not something you got to do?
No. I pretty much took care of you guys. I mean, I never really thought about leaving you guys and just going on vacation. I felt like you all needed a break just as much as I did. And so I tried to always take y'all with me. Plus, for me, it was about the memories and seeing y'all smile and seeing y'all happy.
Do now that you have a little bit more knowledge, would you have done anything differently?
I can't say. I can't say. 'Cause I'm also seeing new ways or ways that the youth are raising their children. And you guys have all types of names for it. You got your helicopter parent. You got your I don't know. There are so many different types of parents. And I just think that it's important for you to be with your children because you're the one that is supposed to be helping them grow and mature. Other people are not supposed to be helping or encouraging. They shouldn't be like celebrities and artists, music artists. They shouldn't be the ones that tell the children how they're supposed to grow up. I think parents are. So I just.
So that brings me to another question. You say that parents should be parenting their children. You had me when you were 20. Yeah, because we're 20 years apart. And then I had Jaden when I was 20. I got pregnant when I was 19. And now that I'm older, and I was having a conversation with Jaden the other day, I was like, "You're 17. Just think, in 2 years you'll be 19." And that's when I was pregnant. And he was like, "Whoa." Now that I'm older, I'm like, "I didn't know nothing. I was a baby. I didn't know nothing about being no parent." So how do you feel like when you say you're supposed to be a parent, how did you know how to be a parent at 20? Like you're still a baby.
I knew nothing about being a parent, and you were so colicky. I remember your dad would come home in the morning, and I would not have slept. And he'd come home, and he would look at you, and he'd be like, "It should just be a zipper top over this." Fasten it. And I'm like, yeah, I wish it could be. But I don't know. I mean, my mom was still alive then, and my Aunt Marie. So I had individuals to give me guidance. I don't know if it was the right guidance. I mean, it must have been. You both are doing really well, I think, you know.
So what do you feel like are some things that you took away from grandma as far as what it means to be a mom and to be a mom to girls? Because I have boys and I hear that mothering girls is way different than mothering boys, especially if you have stuff in, like stuff that you haven't healed from or like different interactions with your mom.
Let's start with the bad things I feel like I got from her. The whoopings. I didn't have to whip you as much. Your sister, she was a trial. And I see you guys raising your children, and you all don't hit. You all have conversations, and you let your children be themselves. And I feel like sometimes I took that away from you all, or I beat some of those things out of you. Like, for instance, I see my granddaughter, she's 10, and she is just so feisty. You know, Callie is just her mouth. Back in the day, I would have quick backhanded, but that, yes, go sit down. Go sit
I
down.
agree. That would have been me because I was the oldest. So had I, she is like a manifestation of me. She really is like every time I see her, I'm like, girl, just it's too much of me and you, and I don't like it. But absolutely, like I would have gotten hit in the mouth. Who are you talking to? Nobody. Absolutely nobody. So it is very different. And I think I don't whoop. It's not for me, it's not the gentle parenting. I can be honest. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to try to run
It is.
around hitting kids and they bigger than you. And then they turn around and do the same thing in a couple of weeks and now I'm exhausted again. It's just, it's pointless. There are other consequences I feel like are less laboring on me and probably bothers them a whole lot more. Cause I know we got to a point where I was like, just hit me and let me go on my way. Cause at least after this little 5 minute hit, I can go outside and play. So when the punishment changed to you can't go outside, you can't go hang out, it was just like wall slide. Please just hit me a couple times and let me go outside and play. So, but yeah, we talked about that, about your whoopings compared to our whoopings, and we have all agreed that in your age bracket, y'all were getting abused. It wasn't called that back then, but even now, listening to, older people talk about growing up, I'm like, oh, yeah, the people would have came and got you and took you onto somebody else's house. Does that awareness do anything for you as far as like a parent? Did you just get that awareness, or did you have that awareness as you were raising us?
Well, I mean, I had that awareness, but see, your generation and Brittany's generation, we could instill fear in y'all. These kids
They're
nowadays, we
not
can't do that.
scared.
They're not
No, they're
scared
not
of nothing.
scared. No, absolutely not. So, okay, whoopings. Is there anything else that you feel like was not the greatest advice?
Now, I mean, there are a lot of things I look back on and I say, whoa, man, I'm surprised my kids don't hate me for doing that. But it must not have been that bad because I have a good relationship with both of you. Or either you guys have matured and you have said, oh, she didn't know she was doing the best she can or the best she could and just loved me anyway.
I really can't recall anything like, but you were always there. I guess being in a military family, and I probably haven't shared this with you, but there was a small time, probably, I'll say maybe late 20s, early 30s, where I was actually embarrassed to share. Probably when we moved to Atlanta, I was embarrassed to share about my childhood because I don't have any traumas, and I would get made fun of for, of course, talking like a white girl. But when I used to tell people, oh, yeah, the first time I went to Disney was in Paris, I would get the ugliest stares. And people would talk about me and call me bougie and this, that, and the other. And I used to feel like something was wrong with me because I don't have any trauma stories. Like, we grew up amazing. The traveling, the going from country to country to country, spending summers at my grandmother's house. Like now, I'm like, look, I'm sorry y'all had the experiences that y'all had, but now I'm in a place where I own it and I'm okay with it. And you were always there. You were at cheerleading competitions, you were at chorus recitals, choir recitals, like all the things. So I can't say outside of like, the things that you wouldn't let me do that really weren't that big. Like, which I have a question. What was the whole when I wanted to be out on the weekend, you would say, you've been out too much? Like, where was that coming from? Because we would just sit in the house and look at each other.
I think there was more of a fear of somebody putting you in a bad situation and me not being able to help you or get you out of that situation. I really, if it would have been up to me, none of y'all would have left the house and told you we're going to hell.
Because
We were going,
this
well,
little
because
town,
on
I wasn't going
TV,
nowhere. Okay.
on TV, they had around that time, that's when they started all the crime shows. You had your
The Law and
cops, and
Orders and stuff.
yes, and you get to see all of that stuff, even though some of it is enhanced, but you still see it and you try to keep your child from it. But I think that's probably what it was more of for me.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
I can't recall that there was any, but that was my experience. I don't know if you were to ask the other if her experience was different. We're two different people, two different times. So, but I can't say that I had like this horrendous childhood and you were this. I will say the one thing as I got older and I watched you, I definitely am very big on implementing my me time and self-care. That is something that I wish you would have done more of because when we got older, it was like you were clinging, like, no, don't go. It's you and me forever. And I would just be like, where are your friends? Like, go find your people. And
Yeah.
then hearing you say, like, y'all are my everything. Like, half of me gets it. And then the other half is like, that's sad because I see moms now and just like you, when the children get older and they're gone, they just be sitting around looking like, what do I do now? But I've enjoyed helping you kind of figure out who you are as a person. I think my profession as a sex therapist and working with Black women has been very helpful for you, not just helping me make money and have a career, but it's helped you ask yourself different questions and put yourself out there more than you would. As far as the self-care component, I know you probably didn't see that much from grandma, but do you feel like you wish she would have shown you more of what it would mean to like indulge in yourself and take time for yourself?
Yeah, I do. 'Cause I see that I never went to a spa or anything until I don't know, I think we went on a cruise or something.
When we were in Amsterdam, no, it wasn't Amsterdam. It was before then, right? Okay.
Yeah, I did not do all of the things that y'all do.
So what did you see her do? What was grandma's mothering like? Now that you have names for it, what was she like? 'Cause she was an amazing grandma. She's the reason why I shop. And I do all the luxe things that I do because she always said, when someone asks you, you say, and you used to get mad about that when we would go places. And she told me, when someone asks you, you say yes, because if you keep saying no, they're going to stop asking. And I was like, well, I don't want you to stop asking me to go shopping. So I'm going to keep saying yes. So, what type of mother do you think she was? And what type of grandmother do you think she was?
Well, she worked nights, so we saw her. I mean, she did the best that she could. When I would come home from school, she would be sleeping. And then I would come in the house and, do my homework and do some things, and then she would wake up and cook. I think her out was she would go out to eat with some of her friends from work. I mean, she did do stuff. She got out of the house, 'cause she used to say she had itchy feet. And so she would leave the house, or they would go, to a club or something, her and Aunt Marie. Sometimes they take that. But she did start. I guess it was just me. I don't know.
Huh. Well, what do you think that well, first, what type of grandmother do you think she was before I go to my next question?
Oh, she was an awesome grandmother.
She was. She
She
really was.
was, man. She loved y'all to death.
She really was. It was like, you want to go? Yes, you want to? Yes. Oh my God, this is amazing. I never want to go home. Just let me live here forever. Which is interesting because now when I think about Avery and he never wants to be home, you coming back home. But yeah, it was like the house of amazingness. And it wasn't like we did much. It was just a different environment and they just, I don't know. It was just different.
Yeah, 'cause my family, they were all we all have a sense of humor.
Yes.
We all rag on one another and just laugh, and that was the best part of being in my family. Have you ever gone over somebody else's house and it's just so like starch? You got to sit there and
Yeah, with your
you're like
hands in
just
between your legs.
yes, looking around. But my mom's house, man, I remember one time coming home and I had a cat and she accepted my cat. She's like, Mr. Cat, the
Oh
cat's just
God,
all
yes,
over
that
the
cat.
place.
I do.
Sleeping in the sink. She knocked on the door. Your cat sleeping in the sink. She just was accepting of everybody and everything that I brought home. And I try to emulate that with her. I try to be caring to y'all's friends and stuff, because I know how important friends are. And with me, I have problems with trusting and building relationships with people, and people never get to see the side of me that you guys see. And so, when I don't, I just want your friends to remain your friends because of, I don't know how to say it. I don't know what's in my head. I don't know, it's just hard for me to build friendships, long-term friendships, because of trust issues. And so when I see you guys with friends, I try to help y'all maintain that relationship, because I guess I just don't want y'all to be like me, not trust. Don't know if that
Well,
makes sense. Probably went off on a whole different show.
no, it makes sense, but I have learned that everyone has their season. And while it doesn't feel good at the moment, everyone has their season and everyone's not meant to elevate with me. So some friends come and some friends go, and that is just part of the cycle of life. So, it is what it is. Anyway, so the self-care part. So there is somewhere along the way you made the decision, it sounds like, to throw yourself into all things mommy. Because if grandma didn't do it and she was doing her thing and I do my thing, I think that Brittany is more like you in the sense of she does, like, she's about being a mom and like throws herself in that. I think that that is very similar to you. What happened? Where was what got lost in translation?
You mean
For you, as far as like taking time for yourself.
don't know, I just didn't want y'all to be lacking. I guess maybe that was something that I wanted when I was younger. Because with my mom working all the time, I mean, she did the best she could to go to like my because I was a band geek. And just different things. I just wanted to be there to see everything that you guys did, all the moments. I didn't want to miss anything. Everything was precious to me. And so if that meant, getting up out of bed at 9 o'clock at night to run to the store that's just about to close to go pick up things for you guys to do your science project that's due tomorrow. I was on the run. If you wanted to join cheerleading, you could be in dance. I made it happen. I just wanted you guys to have a full life and have parents there that were wanted the best for you, or to see you thrive or be happy. Just want y'all to be happy. My happiness didn't mean any too much to me, but I just wanted you guys to be happy.
How does that work now when your happiness didn't mean much to you then, and now we're adults living our own lives and you have to find your own happy?
Well, I'm still lost. I'm still searching. I try different hobbies and do different things, and I might do it for a year, and then I'm like, sure, I won't do this no more. This is not what I want to do. Now, I'm just working towards trying to find something that I like to do. Right now, I just want to be around my grandchildren, because I've missed a lot of them growing up.
Is that you doing the same thing? It just looks different.
Child, you out here dropping gems for free. Lord. Maybe I have to think about that.
Okay. Well, you said on that, 'cause it sounds like the cycle, right? Like we're grown. So it's like, oh, new kids. So let me put my happiness in the grandkids. And then the grandkids get old. Oh, great grandkids. Let me throw my happiness into them. So just something to kind of simmer on. So I want to, because what I recognize is we have a lineage of a lot of pain and suffering, and we're not far removed from all of that because Pap-Pap was out there picking cotton and stuff. So how do you think grandma's relationship with great grandma was as far as like that loving relationship and learning how to be a mom, because I know it was a lot of them. And so that just makes things very different. But how do you think that she was mothered?
Well, she was the, was she? Hold on. She was the baby of the first group. Because in the first group, there were six in the first group. And she was the baby. So, we never really talked too much about her childhood. It's a lot of things that I regret, not asking my parents before they passed away. She never really talked about her childhood.
I wonder if that was on purpose.
I don't know, but back then they was like hiding secrets and stuff, and you would have to sit on the stairs to hear what's going on in the family, or ear hustle to hear what was going on in the family. So yeah, they kept everything pretty much wrapped up tight.
That sucks, because I be trying to get information to find stuff out, and it's just like we keep getting to a dead end, to a dead end, to a dead end. I'm like, I am determined to figure things out, because I only remember going to great grandma's house maybe once or twice. I don't have a full picture of her. I can't remember her like that. It's fuzzy. How was she
Yeah.
to you?
She was nice. She was a nice grandmother. But she didn't play. If something was about to pop off, she'd go get her stick. She had a stick. So she would hit us with a stick. I mean, I didn't go there every summer. I think we went every other summer to Pittsburgh, but yeah, she didn't play, but she loved to travel, and she loved to go to the senior citizens center. And she I remember she she used to do macrame, and I remember one summer she came to
Really?
stay. She came to stay with us, and my mom wouldn't let me go outside because she had made this macrame cheerleader, and I had to learn how to do macrame.
That is so neat. You see, I be trying to do macrame. You never said that.
I don't remember how to do it. I think Patty, because it was called Patty Pompey, and it was a cheer. I think it was a cheerleader, orange and black, my high school colors, and yeah, a little brown macrame thread, yarn or whatever that is, and all
That
summer.
is so interesting that I would randomly be like, hey, I want to learn how to do macrame. And
No, I
she
didn't.
enjoyed it. Well, she enjoyed it. Like, I didn't
Yeah.
know that anyone, I thought I'm just like this random person trying to figure out macrame. But maybe, just maybe, I was pushed to macrame for a reason. Look at that.
Maybe it could be. You know, they knitted, they crocheted.
Crocheted. Yes, I know. And I have none of those skills. I do have a bone to pick with you. So you did not teach me how to corn roll. You did not teach me how to double dutch. And I feel like I missed out on some of my black cards because I still struggle. I had to learn because I got boys with hair. But the whole, I would have loved to double dutch. I feel like I missed out on a piece of life not being able to double dutch.
I wasn't good at double dutch either. I was one of those people, you know, when I would turn the rope, they say, she double-handed. Get a rope to somebody. Like, what is double-handed? What does that mean now? And I
I
used
would
to be so sad, you know, because I wanted to play. But I guess it was
oh.
that left-handed thing. So.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that makes a little bit more sense. You weren't great at it. What about the corn rolling thing? Why did you never teach me that?
I don't know. You never, I think it was you never asked. I mean, you never asked.
I feel like that's a staple. As a black girl, I should know how to corn roll. I'm slowly getting it though, so I can do the bare minimum and hold it together.
That's enough. That's all you need.
So, how now that you're older, do you feel like being a black mom was hard?
Well, I mean, we weren't the traditional family, so I can't compare myself to
Yeah.
individuals on the outside, but in the military, like, yeah, it was hard because, you know, he was going to training and, you know, his out work hours were really obscure. So, you know, I had to be there. A lot of times it was just me and y'all.
Yeah, that makes me think there are a lot of things that I wouldn't know because you wouldn't know because we didn't have the same experiences that other people did. Like when we first came to Atlanta, I was so color struck. I was like, oh my gosh, all these black people. I was nervous. So that's part of like the story I shared too when I got here. And I was like, oh, I think we went to like Atlantic Station. Oh, that was like the blackest place to take somebody. But I remember me and my friend when we were down there, we were like holding hands and we were like next to each other. And now I'm like, how childish is that, Natasha? But I was used to living on a military base with like straight diversity. The schools were diverse and
also coming to Georgia from Germany and not understanding the things that they were learning and not realizing till now how far ahead I was in my education because we weren't here in the US to go to school. It was now I have like a lot of insight to the things that I had to learn because we didn't have to experience because y'all gave us a lifestyle where we didn't have to experience those things. So some of the stuff my mind just can't conceptualize, like people not having passports, people never traveling outside of their county, like just some of those things where people would find it as a luxury, it didn't make sense to me. So I almost had to learn the Black culture, which is probably what I've been doing over the last year or two, as far as like what it means to be a Black woman, how these Black women struggle with raising Black girls and different like jealousies and frustrations that it comes to raising Black girls as a Black woman, because I didn't have to experience any of that, but I have all of these women in my practice who struggle with their moms, and I'm just like, I could not, I don't know how y'all out here doing this and your mom don't like you. That just doesn't make sense to me. So, thank you. I genuinely appreciate my childhood. I appreciate what it has allowed me to experience, which now I have the wanderlust. I want to travel all the time and I go stir crazy if I can't go anywhere. And I do the same for my kids. So I'm not this big birthday mom. I'm experiences. Let's get you a passport. Let's go travel. Let's go on a cruise. I want you to see what life is like outside of just this here county, which I see the oldest. It's just like, I'm so comfortable here. But the little one, he's like, let's go on an adventure. Let's get in a plane. Let's get on a train. So seeing the difference between the two, but that is how I'm going to continue to do it. I want them to have experiences. And that can be the legacy. The goal is to add some wealth in there too. But you know, the legacy of experience is good too. I appreciate that. And I think you are an amazing mom. You did a great job.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry.
Don't do that. We don't do that. You did. So
It's gonna be one of them big ugly mom cries too, with your snot bubbles and everything.
you did. So any, if there is
You,
any
Tasha.
inkling, at least on my end, if there's any inkling that I've never had the idea of you've done the best that you could do, I think you did absolutely amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You are very welcome. Thank you for doing this interview with me and sharing all of your business to my listeners. And I told you I wasn't going to ask you anything crazy. Thank you. I love you.
Love you too. Thank you for having me.
'Oh, wasn't that so sweet? She did so good. Please, please, please blow up. If you are not on Spotify, head over to Spotify, blow up the comment section, and let her know how amazing she did. She did such a good job. I, again, this will probably be an episode that I will go back and listen to because I will have her forever. Oh. But again, like I said, I hope this sparked some questions and some conversations that you want to go have with your mother or even go have with your grandmother. And if you have a great grandmother, go have conversations with her as well. I am very inquisitive. I like to probe. I want to know about my history. As I continue to understand who I am as a woman, I know that it came from who my mother is as a woman and who her mother was as a woman. And so, just to understand your history and know where you come from, and maybe heal some things that you didn't know that you were going to heal just by having a conversation. So, thank you all for listening. Now, as always, I want you to take these ideas and these conversations and make them a reality. Prioritize the pleasure that you deserve. Please rate, review, and share so more women can continue to discover this community. I appreciate you very, very much for continuing to be on this journey with me to greater satisfaction as Black women. Until next time, bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. And I hope today's conversation has inspired you to embrace pleasure in all aspects of your life. Remember, your voice matters in this journey. Share your thoughts and experiences by leaving a review and stay connected with our community by joining our email list. The link is in the show notes. Together, we're redefining what it means to savor life and celebrate the joy in just being you. Until next time, keep prioritizing your pleasure because you are deserving. Take care and stay tuned for more empowering discussions. Bye.